Turn to John 14, please. John chapter 14. Let's notice beginning verse 1. And I think the very start of the verse is where we need to understand today. Let not your heart be troubled. Doesn't mean don't let your heart be sorrowful. Troubled. There's the difference. Godly people sorrow. Great Christians weep. But Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Don't be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Never forget this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One of the wonderful, wonderful hopes we have is the hope of eternal life, to live forever in that glorious place called heaven, where we will be with our Lord and Savior, with our God and Father, and with all those who have gone on before. Oh, what a wonderful thought. Heaven, you see, is heaven because the Bible says it's the place of a person. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also, Jesus said, in me. You see, heaven would not be heaven were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven could not be heaven. Jesus Christ left heaven to come to this place, this world. And he came to this place called the world to give his life a ransom, to pay sin's penalty, to take our place, and to die in our stead. And it's all because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, who went to Calvary's cross to die for sin, not for his, but for our sin. And the songwriter has written, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Listen, there would be no hope, nothing to look forward to today, were it not for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And think of it. He emptied himself, the Bible says. He, so to speak, laid aside his great deity and clothed himself with humanity. Not that he ever ceased to be God, but he ceased to operate per se as God. He came as man. Therefore, he came as a babe in a manger. And I often have said and often have thought, it's interesting that he who is the Lamb of God was surrounded with animals and shepherds. And so Jesus Christ left his Father's home for 33 years so that when we lose one in Christ Jesus, we don't lose them in the wrong sense, but they are taken from us to be with the Lord in the clouds of the air. They're there with the Lord, who was willing for 33 years to leave his Father's side. Think about it. Since he was in the beginning with God,
There never was a time that they were not together. And yet in his great love for us as sinners, Jesus was willing to say goodbye to his Father, come to this earth, and to come as a babe and to be raised as a child and grow up in a carpenter's home so that he for 3.5 years could totally cover this place called Palestine from one end to the other, that he could walk and talk and do the things that only he could do. He spoke as no other man spoke. He taught as no other man taught. The miracles that he did have never been equaled or surpassed, because even though he was man, yet he never ceased inwardly to be God. And so when he met someone who was following a funeral procession, a widow, as her son was being taken to the place of burial, his heart moved with compassion, stopped the funeral procession, said to that young boy, "Rise," and took him and gave him back to his mother. You see, Jesus was so unique. In all of his life, perfect man, and yet perfect God, yet always without spot and without blemish. He alone of all of us could say, "Which one of you convinces me of sin?" Even though they hated him and nailed him to a tree, he did not die for what he had done. He died for what we had done. And there was no other way that you and I could be saved than through his death and later his resurrection. You see, beloved, this person, the Lord Jesus, is why it's called Christianity today. It's Christianity because he was the promised Christ one, the Messiah, who came in the fullness of time, not just to live, but he came to die. And he came to die for you and me. And so let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. And then it talks about the place. In my Father's house, heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know what those mansions are going to be like. I have no idea. But I tell you this, there'll be more than we ever thought. There'll be places that God has reserved for us, eternal in the heavens, that fades not away. In fact, if you have your Bible, turn Revelation chapter 21. Just notice for a minute. Start with verse 9. Think about it. Revelation 21, 9. Listen about this place. We've talked about the person who's to get us there, and we could have stayed all morning on that. But look at the place. And there came unto me one, Revelation 21:9, of the seven angels who had had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Beloved, listen to me. The bride is the true church, the true believers that make up the church, the true church. We have a visible church here, but only God knows, even within this church, those who make up the true church, the true believers. A lot of people go along with Christianity, but listen, unless you're born again, you're not a part of the family of God. And this is the Lamb's wife. This is the Lord Jesus' bride, his virgin bride, that one day will be his for all eternity. And so if you're a member of the true church, been born again by the blood of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, then this bride has a place that's prepared for her. And listen to it. And he carried me away, verse 10, in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great, a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height that are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall was as of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones, 12 of them. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprasus, jacinth, and amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Can you imagine? In all of its beauty, this city with its walls of 12 different stones of streets of pure gold, yet there was no temple. There was no building. There was no building to, so to speak, admire. What you found out that when you stepped into this beautiful city, the only dust was gold dust. And as you stood in that city, you worshiped the Lamb and the Lord Almighty. Oh, what a place. What a place. A precious, permanent place where every born-again one will live forever. It's just that some got to go a little earlier than the rest of us. But don't worry, folks. We're coming in God's perfect timing. We will come. We're coming to a person and we're coming to a place. And then notice, go back to John 14 again. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen to the promise, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, listen to me. Listen very carefully. You've heard me say this before, but it has meaning today. We're not looking. We are not looking for the undertaker to come. That is not an easy day. But folks, every one of us who know the Lord Jesus, we have what is called the blessed hope. And that one day Jesus will come. And when he comes, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, which remain, shall be caught up together with the dead in Christ and will be taken up into the presence of the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. No, it's the upper taker that we're longing to see. The trumpet of God sounding, and every one of us who know him will suddenly be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the dead will come out of their grave alive with their new body, and they'll be joined with their spirit that already is with the Lord. And new body and spirit will be joined. Then we which are alive will cast off this old dead body. Who wants a body like I'm getting? And some of you are even ahead of me. And those of you will admit it, it gets a little harder each day sometimes. These things don't bend the same. These things don't always hear the same. These don't see the same. But I got news for you. There's coming a day when every one of us that know the Lord Jesus, we're going to have a body like unto his glorious body. The dead in Christ will come forth. We will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And that is a promise that we have in God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. And so therefore, we have a blessed hope. We have a wonderful future ahead of us. And whether we have to go to heaven by death or by the rapture, we're longing for that day when that promise will be fulfilled and we will ever be with the Lord. And so the place is a place that has a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus and God Almighty. That place also has the promise that God one day will come for us, and those who have died in Christ will be changed, and we which are alive will be also changed to be caught up together. But there's more. You see, not only do we get this from a person and a place, and not only is it a promise, but we must understand more than anything, and that is this. There is a plan, and you must know God's plan if you're ever going to get there. Please understand this. I'm preaching from my heart this morning. No notes. Just from my heart. And I want you to understand that there is a plan. You see, when Jesus talked to his disciples in this 14th chapter of John, Thomas, who we often refer to as Doubting Thomas, Thomas spoke up, and I'm so glad he did, because he made it very clear after Thomas spoke up. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? They didn't understand what Jesus was fully saying. Thomas just happened to be the one that was willing to speak up. Thank God when someone will ask a professor to clarify the issue. Everybody else in the class is sitting there saying, I wonder what he's trying to say. And finally some extrovert says, hey, professor, what did you mean by that? And everybody said, yeah. Well, Thomas said for the other 12, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We don't know what you mean, Lord, where you're going. And we certainly don't know the way. And of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we find that we have the simplest plan of salvation spelled out anywhere in the scriptures here in John 14:6. Listen to what he says. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, here it is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, heaven, but by me, Jesus. Now, beloved, please remember that Jesus was asked a very direct question from one whose heart wanted to know the truth. Jesus had taught earlier in John, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Another time Jesus said, if any man will to know the doctrine, he shall know. Meaning if you're here today and in your heart you're saying, I sure wish I had what these people are talking about. I sure wish I had peace about the future. I wish I knew if I was killed today or if I suddenly had a heart attack today and was taken to an undertaker. I sure wish I knew the way to heaven. And folks, for almost 2,000 years, wherever the gospel has been preached, the plan of salvation has always been there from the very lips of the one who died to give us the plan and who rose triumphant to make sure it was enforced. And here it is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pure and simple, I'm not a way. If he was a way, then someone else would be a way. And someone else would be a way. And someone else would be a way. But beloved, when he said, I am the way, it means he's the one and only way. And if you and I are ever to get to where he's talking about, this place called heaven, we're going to have to come the way that he said we come, and that way is Jesus Christ. It's not this church. It's not a certain creed, so to speak. It's not being baptized, whether by immersion as a believer or being baptized as a baby unscripturally. And I've had both done, but my baptism doesn't save me. It's not taking the Lord's Supper or Mass or whatever you want to call it. It's not doing that because I did that. It's not carrying a cross for the priest or anyone else. And I've done that. It wasn't until someone said, Jesus died for me and I needed him, that I came to Jesus Christ and asked him to come into my heart and save me, the sinner. And that's the difference, folks. It's not a church. It's not a creed. It's not attendance, even faithful attendance with all the pins. It's not that. Jesus said, I am the way. If you're ever going to get there, you've got to come by me. Let's suppose you folks, after the service, decided that you're going to go down Dale Mabry to eat. And let's suppose that someone said 20 miles north on Dale Mabry, there's a tremendous eating place. And let's suppose that when you got in the car out here, instead of going north, you went south. And you said, I don't care what anybody says, we're going to drive that 20 miles and we're going to get there. And so you head out. I got news for you. About 12, 15 miles down the road, you're going to come to a place at the end of Dale Mabry where there's a gate and where there happens to be an Air Force base. And I can imagine you pulling up to that gate and saying to that guard as he stands there, I'm going right through there. There's a place to eat down over there. He said, sir, you cannot go down there. But you don't understand. I was told that if I went 20 miles on this way, this Dale Mabry way, that I would come to a famous restaurant. And I'm going there. Said, sir, you're not going there because this is an Air Force base and no one goes here unless you have a sign or something that proves you have a right to the base or you've been to the visitor station and got a pass. But you're not going. But sir, we're hungry. Doesn't matter how hungry you are. You must have a pass. You must have something that gives you the right onto this base. And finally, the man realized, I've gone the wrong way. And he has to turn around. And by then, it's too late. The family's just about had it. And believe it or not, you pull into a McDonald's
and tough it out.
But I mean, this place was so wonderful.
Wrong way.
Wrong way. And oh, folks, I know it's a simple illustration, but are you on the right way? You may have good intentions. You may absolutely think, I'm heading in the right direction. But if you have never come to the Lord Jesus and received Him as your Savior,
wrong way, folks. Sincerity has never saved a soul, and it won't save you.
I am the way. I am the truth. You see, all other ways are false. All other religions are false. That's why Christianity is spreading missionaries to the end of the earth in every direction, because Jesus said He was the way and the truth. And this truth has to be preached to the ends of the earth. I read several missionary letters this morning in my office. Missionaries who are going in every direction. Why? Because Jesus isn't a way and a truth. He's the way and the truth. And do you know the truth? Do you know Him? Not about Him. Do you know Him? Oh, there's such a tremendous difference. I had a head knowledge of Jesus for 21 years. But that night, 43 years ago, when I bowed my head and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. For the first time, I had a heart relationship with He who is the way and the truth. He is the truth. And folks, you need to understand it. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free from your sin, from your fears, from your doubts, from your shame, from your guilt. But notice, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Folks, listen, and this is, I don't know how you could say anything's getting better, but it's getting better. Because when you come to the Lord Jesus as a sinner and ask Him to come into your heart and save you the sinner, not only do you then know the way and the truth, but for the very first time, you have the very presence of Christ living His life in and through you. Oh, I tell you, if you had told me if I would just give up this, 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 and this, and this, I'd become a Christian, I would have never become a Christian because I couldn't give it up. I gave it up lots of times. But you know something? And I didn't understand it. Remember, it was all new to me. Never heard the gospel till that night. But listen to me. When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior by faith that night and asked Him to forgive me and save me the sinner, something happened that I didn't understand. Oh, it wasn't emotional. I never cried. It wasn't just a lot of commotion. There was a quiet assurance that when I simply ask Him to come into my heart, the peace of God that passes all understanding, suddenly, therefore, I had faith in Him, and with that, I had peace with God. And the life was different. No one got at the back of the church, and as I walked out, I said, now, Alan, you're in that godless college over there, and you're a junior going on a senior, and I want you to go back, and you're going to have to change that college. You got to go back, and you got to stand on a soapbox, and you got to tell the guys they got to quit this, 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 and this. Oh, man, hey, if you had told me that, I'd say, hold it, folks, wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. Not me. Not me. Well, you realize that now you can't do this, 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 and this? No, no one said that. Hallelujah. I'm glad they didn't. All I know is something happened. For the first time, and I know it now, the Lord Jesus came to live his life in me. And when I went back to the fraternity house and walked in, and they said, "Where have you been?" And I said, "Church." They laughed and said, "Yeah, you had a date." And I said, "Yes, that's true." But I said, "Boys, I want you to know something. I asked Jesus to save me. I'm a Christian now." And they laughed, and they laughed. And they laughed and said, "We'll give you 3 weeks and you'll be drunk again." And thank God, I didn't understand it. But when Christ comes into your life, old things pass away. All things become new. And I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. My life had changed. I didn't fully understand it all. I didn't have scripture to back up anything except the fact that something happened that night. Jesus Christ came into my heart and saved me. And by the grace of God, he's kept me these 43 years. Now, folks, that's life. That's life in the best lane. That's life in the eternal lane. That's life in God's lane. And there's never been a time in my life that I have ever wished I haven't. I didn't do that. There's things I did I wish I hadn't done because I was a new Christian, but I learned that if we confess our sins as Christians, God will forgive us. And I learned the word and I began to understand. Why? Because there was someone living in me. And I found out something very real, that I could still sin, but not like before. I could sin, but I couldn't enjoy it anymore. And when I sinned, I was the most miserable person in the world. And that's the wonderful life that you have in you, a life that when you're truly saved, God won't let you live in sin and get by with it. And if you're here today living in sin, don't tell me you're a Christian. You're just another church member. There's a great difference. And so here it is, folks, and I'm going to close. We have a wonderful person, the Lord Jesus, today that makes it all possible for us to go to that beautiful place called heaven. He's given his promise that one day he will come and take us home. Either after we've died, he'll take us out of the grave and take us back home. Home that way, or he will take us home bodily one day in the rapture of the church. And he's given us a very simple plan of salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know him? If not, why not today? Right where you are, like I did, right in the seat. I didn't join the church that night. I didn't get baptized that night. I just received Christ. And if you will receive the same Lord, he will save you the same way. Let's pray.